You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Ukraine's investigation of Grid Hack reveals Russian ISPs and phone calls. A look at the FISBIZ Linux malware used by the Russian APT-28 espionage group. It's not fancy, but it does the job. Researchers trace North Korean cyber operations, and South Korea upgrades its state of cyber alert. Bad news and good news on ransomware. Krakas and .govs react with both alarm and braggadocio to last week's arrest. French police collar an alleged bomb threat specialist. And we hear from University of Maryland expert Jonathan Katz, who explains the underlying technology behind Bitcoin. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. Ukraine continues its investigation into December's attack on segments of its power grid. That attack is now said to have been months in preparation, with reconnaissance beginning about 6 months prior to the attack itself. The latest statements from Ukrainian officials offer more evidence of a Russian connection. The attackers used a Russian ISP and made phone calls from within Russia, but they stopped short of attributing the attack to the Russian government. Evidence for any such attribution remains largely circumstantial, but the Russian government remains a prime suspect in the incident. Investigators continue to focus on black energy and think the attack itself was probably accomplished using compromised credentials. Palo Alto looks at FISBIZ, Linux malware widely used by the Sofasi group, also known as APT-28 or SEDNIT, and as Palo Alto primly notes, a cyber espionage group believed to have ties to Russia. While relatively unsophisticated, FISBIZ is thought to retain its usefulness in part because of relatively underdeveloped awareness of Linux malware, and because many of its targets are business enterprises focused on Windows. Tensions increase on the Korean Peninsula as North Korea undergoes a protracted period of assertiveness and nuclear sable rattling. The Republic of Korea expects cyber attacks from the DPRK and moves to a higher state of cyber alert. Kaspersky and Alien Vault lend some credence to South Korean concerns. Researchers with the two companies describe the continued activity of apparent North Korean threat groups who participated in the cyber looting of Sony in 2014. They trace the attackers through a long string of exploits, ranging from Dark Soul to the word processing malware Hangman. As is increasingly the case nowadays, the researchers stop short of saying the Norks did it, but it's fairly clear where suspicion points. Other companies, notably FireEye, have attributed many of the incidents to the North Korean government. ESET has described the Korkal malware used in criminal manipulation of EnergoBank's currency trading platform. Unlike such retail banking trojans as the better-known Hesperbot, Korkal targets banks as opposed to their customers, and so has received less popular attention. ESET does, however, regard Korkal as both evasive and capable. What's less clear is how its controllers monetized their attack. They don't appear to have profited directly from the attack, which leads ESET to speculate that the criminals either traded in the futures market, set up some third party for profitable trading, or were simply engaging in a trial run. The Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital, a large Los Angeles medical center, struggles to recover from an unusually tough-to-remediate ransomware attack. Here, the price of recovery the criminals are asking is higher than most enterprises would be willing to pay, $3.6 million. Hollywood Presbyterian isn't the only medical center hit by ransomware. Last week, the Lucas Hospital in Neuss, Germany, was the victim of TeslaCrypt. There was some good news over the weekend on the ransomware front. Security firm MSSoft has succeeded in decrypting HydraCrypt and UmbraCrypt. So, well done to Fabian Vosar and his crew. The arrest of an alleged cracker with attitude by police in the UK last week has prompted both heebie-jeebies and gasconade from other crackers and, unsurprisingly, .govs. They're chatting with their media contacts at Motherboard, saying such things as, "We are worried. I think I'll get raided before this month is up." And, "Our campaign will only intensify now." And, "If we find out who snitched cracker out, we'll be coming after him or her." So there, snitches. Take that. The teen arrested in the Midlands cracker sweep remains appropriately nameless. So does a teen arrested last week in France. Identified only as Vincent L., this 18-year-old studies at Eluce in Dijon. He was also administrator of the Darkness SU XMPP service. His arrest came in connection with bomb threats issued over about a week at the end of January and beginning of February. The threats were hired crime, offered for sale by Evacuation Squad. Vincent is out on bail, but will apparently be charged with failure to give the authorities his encryption keys. Evacuation Squad's declared motives were plausibly adolescent, especially the second and third. Hatred of the American government, hatred of authority, and a love of chaos. They charged between $5 for threatening a school to $50 for disrupting a major sports event. Framing someone for a bomb threat, a particularly chilling service, was offered for $5. All of this could be paid in Bitcoin. No other currency was acceptable. How Bitcoin actually works is worth some attention. We caught up with the University of Maryland's Jonathan Katz, and we'll hear from him after the break. But here's some news you can use should you travel to France in pursuit of a life of anonymous cybercrime. Failure to render your encryption keys to police who require them in the course of investigation can earn you up to 5 years in prison. Pas bon, eh, mec? But of course, this isn't legal advice. Skids, do consult your attorney.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
I'm joined by Jonathan Katz, professor of computer science at the University of Maryland. He's also the director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center. They're one of our academic and research partners. Jonathan, Bitcoin is always all over the news when it comes to all things cyber. It is the way that people exchange funds anonymously. Just give us an overview of how Bitcoin works.
So just to give a high-level overview, there are obviously a lot of technical details involved, but there are two key components, I think. The first of those is how Bitcoins are created, and that's done by having miners run a cryptographic algorithm on their computers. And what they're doing is essentially looking for solutions to a moderately hard cryptographic problem that they expect to solve at predetermined time periods. So that prevents people from just mining an infinite amount of Bitcoins or from, you know, mining all the Bitcoins in existence, and releases or ensures that Bitcoins are created at some fixed rate. The second key component is the idea of the blockchain. And again, at a very high level, this is a distributed mechanism that people running the Bitcoin protocol will use to guarantee some kind of consistent view of the transactions going on in the system. So every time one person sends a Bitcoin to somebody else, they will tell the other people participating in the protocol about that transaction, and then they'll all run this distributed protocol involving the blockchain to make sure that everybody agrees that indeed this person sent some amount of Bitcoin to somebody else.
What's the mechanism for converting a Bitcoin into cash?
Well, some people would argue that Bitcoin's as good as cash because if you can spend it, then it's just like cash. But if you did want to take your Bitcoin and then convert them to U.S. dollars, there are online exchanges that will allow you to do that. Bitcoin's really interesting because it kind of came up out of nowhere. It certainly didn't come from, as far as we know, any academic institution, and it was developed by somebody anonymously who just floated the idea out there, and then all of a sudden it was adopted. And so part of what makes that interesting is that nobody really has a good understanding of the security that the Bitcoin protocol provides. There was no analysis really in that paper, no formal analysis certainly, and as far as we know, there may be flaws in the protocol that haven't yet been found. So one thing we're trying to do at the University of Maryland is come up with formal models of what security properties you might want from a protocol like this, and then trying to determine whether the Bitcoin protocol actually satisfies them. And on that note, I'll mention that you led off with your first question saying that Bitcoin is anonymous, and that's actually not true. It's a misperception. Bitcoin, you know, provides anonymity to the extent that it doesn't release your name when you're spending a Bitcoin, but there are, in fact, ways that you can trace Bitcoin transactions. And one of the other directions of research that we're looking at is trying to come up with extensions of Bitcoin, generalizations of Bitcoin, next-generation versions of Bitcoin that might provide stronger guarantees like anonymity, true anonymity, or other things that you might want to improve about the Bitcoin protocol itself.
All right, so buyer beware. Jonathan Katz, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.